Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, unlike the other Jewish festivals that we have explored these past weeks, the Passover is probably one that you are most familiar with. We read in Scripture about how after many decades of slavery to Egyptian pharaohs, during which time the Israelites were subjected to labor and other abuses, God saw his people's distress, and he sent Moses to Pharaoh with a message: "Send forth my people so that they may serve me." But despite numerous warnings, Pharaoh refused to heed God's command. God then sent upon Egypt 10 devastating plagues, afflicting them, destroying everything from their livestock to their crops. As God was poised to take the Israelites out of Egypt, he instructed Moses to tell the people of Israel to prepare by bringing a sheep into their homes. And on the night that he was about to bring death to the Egyptians, the Israelites slaughtered the lambs and ate them in a prescribed way. You heard that read in our passages tonight. And they were instructed also to take some of the blood from that slain lamb and smear it on their doorposts. It was a sign to God that this was an Israelite home. It would be passed over while death was visited on the newborn, firstborns, the firstborns of all the other homes. So this is what gives Passover, sacrifice, and holiday its name. And so, you may know then that when Jesus celebrated this feast on the night before his arrest, he provided a truer meaning of this festival by pointing it to himself. He taught the disciples that this festival really pointed to him. He was the lamb that was selected for sacrifice. His blood would cover their sins and protect them from the sting of death. Now, they may not have understood it that night, but they would come to understand it, just like we have come to understand it here in our own day. So where should we focus our thoughts tonight? These two readings provide us an overabundance of ways in which we can better understand Jesus, where we can probe deeper into what we already know. But as I reflect on this passage, specifically the gospel passage, one verse keeps leaping off the page. And it's the last one, verse 30. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Now, when we read this verse from the perspective of the disciples, it seems very reasonable. Every single year, they would have observed this festival. This year would have been no different. To them, the only reason it may have been noteworthy is because what Jesus said and what Jesus did that night. There, during this dinner, he shifted the focus of the meal to himself. And again, they probably had the wrong understanding of that. They may have even contemplated it after the fact. But other than that, it was just a normal Passover feast. And so they sang a hymn, And they followed their teacher up to the mount. But when we read this from the perspective of Jesus, things change quite a bit. We must first step back to Palm Sunday, the day when he entered Jerusalem. And we know that he rode a colt into the city. We know that the crowds cheered him on. But have you ever considered what he saw while processing? Outside the gate, beyond the crowds, were probably men in various stages of crucifixion. Can you imagine what must have passed through his mind at that moment? He was being viewed as a king, a savior. And he knew that he would be soon, but not in the way that these people expected. His path would not take him directly from the gate to the city, to the castle, to the throne, like the people had hoped. Instead, they would take him to the cross, where he would be one of those anguished, tortured men. And only after he would suffer would he be seated on a throne, not in Jerusalem. Instead, it would be at the right hand of the Father in heaven. So moving past Palm Sunday, can you imagine what must have been in his mind, what he must have thought as he spoke the words during that dinner? Matthew records this moment. Now as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." The disciples were surely confused by these words, but Jesus wasn't. He knew perfectly well what it would mean to have his body physically broken and his blood literally poured out. These words were very real to him and a foreshadow of what he knew he would soon experience. What he knew he was sent into creation to accomplish. See, all of history had led to this very moment. Everything pointed to it. He had known that this day would come since before time had even begun. And he had willingly obeyed the Father when he was sent to fulfill the promise that had been made to Abraham. And now, this day had arrived. His body would soon be broken. His blood would soon be poured out. This had to weigh heavy on him. How could he sing a hymn of praise? You see, the disciples didn't understand what was going on, and so they sang, unaware of what was about to take place. But Jesus, while they celebrated his entry into Jerusalem, Jesus carried the weight of what he would soon endure. While they participated in the Passover meal, Jesus carried the weight of what he would soon endure. And when they sang a hymn, Jesus carried the weight of what he soon would endure. He would carry this weight as they slept before he was arrested. He would carry this weight as they ran away from the mob. And he would carry this weight as they denied being his followers. He would carry it all the way to the grave before he would be able to declare victory. And so on that night, he taught his disciples that the sacrificial Passover lamb for the Exodus, from the Exodus, was really him. And he taught his disciples that the blood he would shed, his blood, would be used to cover their sins, protecting them from eternal death. And he offered them his body and his blood, broken and poured out. Take, eat, he would say. Take, drink. This is my blood. My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And they took the bread, and they took the wine, and they ate. And he gave himself over to man to be crucified. And he became sin for us. And he suffered separation from the Father. And he did it all while still praising the one who sent him. We don't celebrate the Feast of Passover, not the way that it was instituted. We celebrate what it points to. The feast of our Lord, who became Lamb, the Lamb of God, to take away our sins. But as we participate in it, I pray that we reflect on it anew and consider, if only for a moment, how that meal itself, and even that whole week, must have weighed on Jesus. And then, let us also sing a hymn praising God the Father. Please pray with me. Lord, by your sacrifice, you have opened the gates of heaven for us. By faith, we believe this, but by reason, we can never fully comprehend it. But we praise you for the suffering that you endured on our behalf. Give us the motivation to sing your praises to the world, that they might come to know what you have done for them. In your name we pray. Amen.